Book of Romans, chapter 1. I do have an announcement to make. It is no longer a godless America. Somebody got their license plate fixed.
It's called Sandy now.
Thank you, Sandy, for taking care of that. America is no longer godless.
I'm glad you brought it tonight.
Not a problem. No problem.
Now I know where everybody was staring at.
See? We deal with important stuff here.
Most of the time, anyway.
Most of the time. Just not at the beginning, okay? If you would, turn your Bibles, book of Romans, chapter 1 again, like I said. And I want to go ahead and read the first 7 verses again. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Christ, Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop right there. As I said last week, and I will reiterate, Paul's introductions are better than most sermons. Because this thing is just chock full of stuff. Started off with Paul being a servant, a bond slave, a willing slave, because God's people are willing in the day of his power. We don't believe in free will. I don't anyway. I don't think you do either. But that's only because it doesn't exist. If it existed, we'd believe, okay? It's not a problem. I've heard it somewhere that there's none good, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none. So even if you got free will, it's not doing you any good. So anyhow... And then I heard even worse, not only is there none good, we're all gone out of the way.
Yeah.
Well, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, and he will put you in the way. And you will no longer be out of the way. Anyhow, Paul was a servant, a willing slave. And then it states, called. An apostle. The 2 B's in italics. You can leave it out. You can put it in. But it says called an apostle. Separated unto the gospel of God. Now, the first thing I got to thinking about this, when it says Paul was called an apostle, this was not an office to which Paul aspired. He wasn't running for election. Paul was not out to become an apostle when he sat out on the Damascus Road. He was not thinking about being an apostle when he was guarding the cloaks of those people who stoned Stephen. How do you become an apostle anyway? Well, nowadays, you just say you're one. I'm serious. There are some people out there.
Oh, yeah.
And now some of them are more out there than others. But who say they're apostles? Well, I got a piece of advice for that. Don't believe them. Definition of an apostle is, well, right here, called to be an apostle. And I think you had to see Christ, who Paul did. Jesus Christ revealed himself to Paul directly on the road to Damascus and blinded him by doing it. Of course, he fixed that part up. There are no qualifying individuals today for apostleship. None of the apostles were looking for that job. Jesus Christ picked them all. He told them once, he said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." And he said, "One of you is a devil," but that was part of the plan also. And the easiest way, though, to listen to these people who claim to be apostles today is just actually listen to what they say. Because they're not going to agree with this book. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Max said he met somebody the other day. He says, "I don't talk religion because they don't believe the Bible the way I do." Which turned out the fellow believed the Bible the way we've heard it. What I usually try to say is, I don't talk about the Bible sometimes with people because they don't want to believe the Bible the way it's written.
Amen.
Henry Mahan did a great sermon one time. It's called The Christ of the Bible. Because there's all kind of Christs out there. There's all kind of Jesuses out there. But there's only one Christ of the Bible. And I believe him. But anyhow, Paul did not pick apostleship as his vocation.
No.
In all reality, it was actually the exact opposite. He had been willing, consenting unto the death of Stephen, a saint of God. He sat there and guarded their cloaks while they stoned him to death. And then he was on his way to Damascus to persecute those who believe Christ. That's not exactly on the victory road, Walter. But Paul called an apostle. It's not up to you. It's not up to me. It wasn't up to Saul of Tarsus. It's up to Christ. He will call his people when he sees fit to do it. Or as the Bible puts it, in the fullness of time. When are you going to believe? When it's time. When are you going to know Christ? When it's time. Because he will reveal himself to you. And he does this for each and every individual that belongs to him already. Because when we first see Paul, his name's Saul. Like I said, the first time we saw him, he was consenting unto the death of Stephen. When we next see him, his name's still Saul. And Saul's on the road to Damascus to persecute more believers. But guess what? He got stopped. He got stopped hard, Mason. Now, today I don't know of anyone who has been blinded by the glory of Jesus Christ. Literally. Okay? But I believe this happened to the Apostle Paul. I believe this happened to Saul of Tarsus. The revelation is the same. Paul asked, he said, "Who are you, Lord?"
Yeah, amen.
A, he's Lord. B, Paul's not sure who he is. But C, Christ tells him. Before, Paul wasn't caring. Paul was on his way to destroy, as best he could, the people who believed this one who stopped him on the road to Damascus. Paul thought he was doing God a favor. He did. Christ did him the favor. Christ did it out of grace and love because Paul had been chosen before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ stopped him. Because Jesus Christ had chose Paul. Chose Saul and called him Paul. And then Christ gave Paul a message. The message is the message of Christ. The good news of God. The gospel of God. Called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. That's the message. The gospel of God. It is actually written that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have life everlasting. That is true. It's God that loved the world. And then it says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. The gospel of God is the gospel of Christ. Christ Jesus, whom Saul had been persecuting, called him by name. And told him some things about himself. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? Paul was separated unto the gospel of God. So much so that in 1 Corinthians 2:2 he wrote this. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, he did know other things. And he did talk about other things. But this is the one thing. This is the one man with whom we all have to deal. This is the message. Jesus Christ and him crucified. The redemption that Christ purchased on the tree that actually saved his people from their sins. Anything else is extra. Bowling is extra. We had a good time. We had nice fellowship. And none of us ended up cussing each other. I can't say the same for some of the people that were also there. But mostly it was kids, so it wasn't bad. But that is extra. The thing that matters is the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the one thing I would like for everyone to get from coming here, including me. Everything else is fluff. Christ is the message. And that's the gospel that Paul was separated unto. Then he throws in this, and they put it in parentheses in the King James Version, when he said, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Paul was writing to some Jews in Rome. And just in case you thought all we ever had was the New Testament, there's a whole big section of the book here in the back that is chock full of the gospel of God. Because the gospel of God had been promised from the beginning. because the gospel of God had been purposed from the beginning. If you really want to get down to it, the very first verse is, in the beginning God.
Yeah, amen.
Created the heavens and the earth. That's Christ. Because John puts it, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God and was with God. Everything that was made, the Word made. Mm-hmm. And right now, by the Word, by Christ, everything consists. I don't understand that. I can't comprehend it. But it's true. And I know it's so. And I can't think of anything to explain that. But it's in the book of Genesis. The gospel is shown as the seed of a woman who was promised that would bruise the serpent's head. The gospel is shown as a set of clothes of animal skins that was put on Adam and Eve to clothe their nakedness. There was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns that became the substitute for Isaac, for Abraham. That's Christ. That's the gospel of God. Substitution. Joseph saves his brethren in the land of Gentiles, Walter, while married to a Gentile bride. That's Christ. The gospel is shown definitely as the Passover lamb whose blood was shed, and when the Lord saw that blood, he passed over them. Some people may even have been asleep. They were still passed over.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the kids were. Didn't matter. The Lord saw the blood. The Lord saw the blood of the Lamb. And the death passed over and didn't touch him. That's the gospel of God. Every detail of the tabernacle, the high priest himself, the garb he wore, the Ark of the Covenant, and the mercy seat all point to the good news, the gospel of God.
Amen.
God provided sacrifices. In Leviticus, you see the high priest again, and every sacrifice for sin. The Day of Atonement. Now you can go through all of them. Ruth, the kinsman redeemer. Job, I know my redeemer liveth. That's Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of God. I know that my redeemer liveth, and at the latter days, he's going to stand on this earth. And I'm going to see him. Though the skin worms devour this flesh, I'm going to see him with my own eyes.
Amen.
And Job is. Job will. Because Job knew God. And if he knew his Redeemer liveth, he knew the gospel of God. And the great thing about that, Job was saying that long before Christ came to this planet in human flesh. But he said, I know my Redeemer lives because Jesus lived even then. The Word was in the beginning with God and was God. That's Jesus Christ. He was alive in Job's day. People don't understand eternity. And I'm a people, so I don't understand eternity. And by his grace, I understand a little bit of what he's written in here. But what I know is that this, as far as I'm concerned, this has always been the plan. There is nothing new under the sun as far as God is concerned. I get surprised every day. Usually they're bad, but it's okay. I'm used to it. When I get a good surprise, I'm happy because it's rare. But there is nothing new under the sun about Jesus Christ. It has always been the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This is what Paul was called to be an apostle of, the gospel. And there is only one gospel. Yeah. Paul wrote that later. If anybody comes and brings another, guess what? It's not another. Because there is no other. Amen. Even if Paul said, even if I preached it. Yeah. Don't believe me if I say anything different than what the gospel of God is. Which the scriptures had performed. The scriptures had told of. Pictured, typed, prophesied. It's there. Excuse me. Jesus Christ was God, Jesus Christ is God, and Jesus Christ ever shall be God. Because it is by Christ all things consist. And then, of course, you get the further definition in verse 3, the gospel of God concerning his son. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Not Jesus Christ, our Savior. Not Jesus Christ, our buddy. Not Jesus Christ, my friend, even though he may be your friend. First and foremost of the gospel, Jesus Christ is Lord. And Paul says he's our Lord. Those who know him can say, our Lord. And that's who Paul's writing to here. He'll get to it when he finishes the introduction. It's our Lord. The world don't claim him because the world don't want him. Sorry, the world doesn't claim him because the world doesn't want him. He's proper English. My wife gets mad at me sometimes. The world doesn't want him. And the reason the world doesn't want him is because the world doesn't know him. They know the Christ of their imagination. They may believe the Jesus that they've heard of since they was little babies. But it's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Because our Jesus Christ is only ours because he picked us. He chose us. He called us by name. He saved us. He revealed himself unto us through his word.
Amen.
And through his gospel. That's the only thing we have. And it's the way it's written in here, it's Jesus the Messiah, Christos. He is everyone's Lord, whether they know it or not. He is the Lord, whether anyone knows him or not. But I am happy, pleased, and willing to call him my Lord. That's what changed me a long time ago. I mean, I sort of believed Jesus Christ was God, Mason, when I was a reprobate. Well, not reprobate, when I was unconverted. Because that's what I've been raised. And believe it or not, Henry Mahan had another point when he said that, would you be a heathen Hottentot if that's the way you were born and raised? Pretty much, yeah, I would have. That's why I was Catholic for 23 years, because that's all I knew. Now, there is some truth in the Catholic religion. And there's a lot of hoo-ha nonsense too. And there's a lot of falsehoods. But Jesus Christ revealed himself to me. And now he is my Lord. I can call him with Paul our Lord. He didn't change. I did. And the reason I changed is because he changed me. Had nothing to do with me. Let's see. Then I like this verse. Verse 4. And declared the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. This is another thing when I pointed out God sent forth his Son. It doesn't say God created his Son, because he didn't. And right here it doesn't say that he was created the Son of God. He was declared to be the Son of God. Angels came to announce his birth. You know what they said? The king's coming. He's already king before he got here. And when he got here, he was king. When he left here, he was king. When he was on the cross, he was king. When they took up stones to stone him, he was king. He was and is the God-man. But he was declared to be the Son of God. Nobody made him the Son of God. He wasn't created the Son of God. See, they... Now, granted, a lot of this comes from Hollywood, okay? There are people waiting now for a new baby to be born to be the new Son of God. That's the truth. Because a lot of people do get their theology from Hollywood. And they don't read this book. There's only one Christ. And he is coming again. But he's going to come again in like manner as they saw him go. In power, in might, in strength, and in his glory. He's coming again. But he's not going to be another baby in a manger. He's already done that. He's already been here and been declared to be the Son of God. With power. That's why some people like a baby Jesus. They don't have to deal with the power. They don't want to know anything about the power. Because we have in ourselves so little power. Power scares us. Of course, other people like power. They try to get some. And they think they have power. But if you don't know anything about Christ, I'll tell you, you don't know anything about power. These people today, and there are some out there in the cause of science or whatever, they're trying to stop aging. They're trying to stop sickness. Now, I'm all for medicine because it has saved my life once or twice so that I'm still here. Not that I'm opposed to going now, but back then I, was a little more scared about it. They went in and cut out my appendix and it almost burst. And if that thing burst inside you, you have run a risk of infection and death. I was 11. And I thank God that he sent the doctors there and the surgical knowledge to get that thing out of me. Now, I wasn't real happy the week after because I was bent over and hurt like a son of a gun. But God declared to be the Son of God, Jesus Christ, with power. He can raise the dead anytime he wants to, Walter. He did raise the dead. Not counting himself. People get this thing that science is the be-all, end-all of knowledge. And they'll laugh at us because they think we believe fairy tales. I'm serious. I mean, been there, done that. It's like, you guys really believe that stuff? Yeah. Well, I don't know about them, but I do. I think they do too. Because I believe some of you have met the same Lord that met me. But the world hasn't met him. The world doesn't know him. And the world doesn't want him. And they sure don't want him to have power. That's right. I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. Yeah, go right ahead. You know what you got then, don't you? Bootstraps. That's all you got. Nobody does anything alone, even though people think they do. No one does anything alone. They don't want God to have the power of life and death. They don't want God to have the power to be able to make decisions for them. I want God to make decisions for me. Because I too often have a tendency, now don't tell anybody this, to make the wrong decisions. Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. I don't know anything about holiness, Walter. Other than he's it and I'm not. Mm-hmm. And if God says I am, it's because of Christ in me. It has nothing to do with me. And I can't explain it. I can't. Not being able to make a mistake. That would be so nice. Now sure, I might be hard to get along with. But not being able to make a mistake would be so nice. There are people who know me who think that I believe I don't make mistakes. I usually tell them that, you know, I thought I made a mistake once, but I was wrong. This is at work. But I do know my job. I've been doing it two different places for like 15, 16 years, okay? I've actually done this once or twice before, I tell them at work. I know how to do this. But they don't believe me. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the same thing they feel about this. Walter and I have been there. You can read the word right out of the book to a person and I say, yeah, it says that, but that's not what I believe. And then they'll go to church and be just as happy as a clam, Mac. Because their church won't tell them what we just read to them. And I am become their enemy because I told them the truth. Well, it's Walter, so I blame him. That's the way of this world. They don't understand the power of God. They don't understand that there is actual holiness, perfectness, goodness. Their spirit of holiness makes them run around and shout and fling books in the air and whatever, you know. That's not what Paul's writing about here. A spirit of holiness is a spirit of perfection. Jesus Christ is not only all powerful, he is all perfect. And there's nothing hated more than somebody that's perfect. And that's why they took up stones to stone him. Because he told them the truth. I'm going to stop. The power of God the Son of God, the Spirit of holiness, and for proof, by resurrection of the dead. Jesus Christ is our Lord. He has the power. He is holy, and he is alive. And he ever liveth to make intercession for us, for his people, for his children. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. He's not ashamed to do us a favor, even when we're too dumb to recognize it, most of the time. Jesus Christ is God. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for you sending forth your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, and for the work he performed on this earth, the redemption that he obtained, and for his offering to you, which was accepted, and his intercession today and every day. And we pray for his return. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In his name we pray. Amen.